This week, 150 years ago, the Civil War began in Charleston, South Carolina, when Confederates attacked Fort Sumter. I'm standing at Fort Point on the northern edge of San Francisco, right underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, just next to the San Francisco Bay. Although guns here never fired a shot in anger, it was considered a formidable deterrent to a naval attack on California, and California was a critical player in the Civil War. Here to explain why is history professor Carl Guarneri of St. Mary's College, a Catholic liberal arts college in Moraga. Professor, take us back in time to 1861. Was the gold rush still going on?
There was still plenty of gold coming out of California's mines, but the people who were getting it were the corporations and the state and federal governments, if they owned the land on which the gold, under which the gold was hiding. That gold was a huge prize, either for the Union or the Confederacy, if it could get hold of it, to help fund its massive war effort.
So both sides knew there was a lot of gold here, and both sides no doubt wanted to get their hands on it. What were the concerns about where attacks might come from?
Well, I think there were concerns about bands of vigilantes moving in on some key destinations, such as the fort or the Benicia Arsenal, which had arms and which ended up being a staging ground for the Union troops from California. It was always possible, especially when the fort had no cannons, for a small group of men to move in and take a position that was not heavily guarded.
Now, Fort Point sits on what's known as the Presidio, and Union troops were stationed here. How real was the Confederate threat to California? Were there really any ships or troops headed this way?
The threat was considered very real. In the beginning of the war, there was a real fear that England would side with the Confederacy. And with the greatest navy in the world, England could have sent ships into San Francisco Bay to establish quite a beachhead on the West Coast and also grab that gold. It wasn't clear until halfway through the war that England was not going to join the Confederacy. Probably about a third of the native-born whites living in California had come from the southern states, and there were a lot of pro-secessionist sympathizers in California.
Why did California swing the Union's way?
Part of the answer is simple numbers, that Northern Californians outnumbered Southern Californians, and so they were able to carry the key elections, not by a whole lot. President Lincoln was elected in California by about 600 votes, but it was enough to put California in his column. But that's only part of the answer. Part of it was the same kind of military crackdown that was going on in other so-called border states. The army moved very quickly here to jail anybody who was outspokenly pro-secessionist. Certain newspapers that expressed pro-secession sentiments in San Jose, in San Francisco, in Visalia, in Stockton, were censored, were suppressed.
It's worth pointing out that even though California was a free state from the time it was admitted into the Union, people were allowed to bring slaves here and keep them here.
William Gwynne, who was the most powerful Democratic politician in California and a senator, owned several plantations in Mississippi and brought slaves to California. Technically, California came into the Union as a free state, but every year until 1855, extensions were granted to slave owners who had come with their slaves to be able to keep them and still retain their slave status.
Given the divided nature of California then at the time of the Civil War, there must have been some very dramatic and very personal, bitter battles between individuals here. I'm thinking of the one that involves State Chief Justice David Terry.
David Terry was Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court. He was from Texas originally. His opponent, David Broderick, was also a Democrat, but opposed the extension of slavery. He was a New York Irish Tammany Hall politician who came out here and made himself a powerful political figure, eventually getting elected senator. Well, they had hard words over their political positions, exchanged insults, and down by the shores of Lake Merced in 1859, they conducted an old-fashioned pistol duel. And Terry shot Broderick in the chest, and he died 3 days later. So you have the Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court killing one of our United States senators in Broderick's own dying words because he opposed the corruption of the administration and the extension of slavery. This was about a month before John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry back east. And as far as California was concerned, this could be considered the first shot of the Civil War.
Professor, thank you so much for coming out here and talking with us.
You're welcome.